You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Damschroeder. My guest today is Heather Dugan, the creator of Cabernet Coaches and the author of a hot new book called The Friendship Upgrade. In this important new book, Heather tells us how to trade clickable connections for friendships that matter. Heather, it seems like social media has made us both more connected than ever and yet lonelier than ever. Is this really the key insight to your book?
It's a big part of it, John. The problem has been we kind of received all these tools without enough information to know how to use them well. So I kind of see a lot of people skating around connection instead of really engaging in it. And social media is a great way to kind of avoid true connection while giving yourself almost the illusion that you are part of something.
So why are we so lonely?
Well, there are a number of factors. I think technology is certainly a big one. We've gotten more fast-paced as kind of the data overload has occurred. When the World Wide Web started and smartphone technology sprung on the scene, we had this illusion that we would be kind of managing more opportunities, but within an extended leisure period. But that was just on paper, and since it's all digital, it's kind of overloaded our brains a bit. So we have kind of been trying to manage our lives rather than really kind of, I think, engaging in the activities that we traditionally enjoyed, which include social connection. Technology also just, I mean, there's more opportunities to avoid direct face-to-face contact. And whether it's a matter of being personally efficient or whatever the reason, that's always an out for people. So there's less of the traditional conversations that we used to have. And I think also we typically will go through several transition points in our life. A lot of times because of suburb living and that kind of being, you know, less physically close to people in proximity, these transition points can really knock us out of context for our social connection that we've known. And a lot of people don't feel equipped to rebuild it again.
So, Heather, what if I'm lonely? What's the effect?
Well, there's some very researched physiological things that happen in our bodies. There's an increase in our stress hormone production, cortisol. That impacts heart health, blood pressure. We're at risk of more inflammation. This all happens at the intracellular level. So it's kind of a base body reaction. And the reason for that is it is a stressful thing to feel isolated. And isolated is not necessarily being on a desert island somewhere. I mean, you can be a room with a lot of people around you. But if you don't feel emotionally connected in some way to these people, then you're going to have that stress reaction. And that goes way back. Our ancestors depended upon that group interaction for safety and, you know, for life itself. And so our body still kind of responds to that in an it responds to it physiologically, and then that generates this emotional kind of reaction as well.
You know, actually,
unfortunately.
Go ahead. Finish.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when the body is going through those kinds of feelings, I mean, you're having that kind of reaction, it impacts the way you approach people and how you respond to them as well. So that's one of the most concerning things about becoming lonely and staying in that condition for any period of time, because it tends to create these self-perpetuating things within you in terms of your response to other people. You aren't readily available to engage with people like you might normally be if you felt more safe and secure in your life.
You know, actually, loneliness is so big and bad with such an effect on health akin to smoking or obesity that Great Britain has created a minister of loneliness to fight what they're calling an epidemic. In Minnesota, Blue Cross and Blue Shield is making grants to communities to improve social connectedness. Now, you did what they're trying to do from the top down, from the bottom up, as one committed individual. So what can you share with us that these big organizations should know as they go about trying to do what you've already done?
Right. Well, I mean, it's certainly the right idea. And I'm familiar with a lot of the UK activities particularly because they were kind of a front runner on recognizing the issue. thanks to Dr. John Cassiopo at the University of Chicago and all his research. But, I think it's a little intimidating when you stand at the top and look down and see all these individuals that are interspersed. We don't even know where they are, because it's not like people raise a little flag and say, help me over here. You tend to hide away deeper and deeper into your hibernation zone, I think, when you find yourself in that position. It really begins from, it has to begin from a base level. It has to be one person reaching out to the next and forming community down at that. It's a ground level. You can't orchestrate or command connection. It has to be an organic kind of growth that comes from people that really, truly desire the benefits that connected living offers. I say it needs to be your lifestyle connection. It's not something that you attend to when you have the extra time to do so. This is a base need we have. And you don't know when transitions will hit you in life. I mean, we talk a lot about financial security and how one adverse financial effect can put us into, a bankruptcy or similar, a dire financial predicament. But most people are just a transition or two away from a social disconnection that can be life-limiting and it will change the trajectory of your life and the lives of your children and your productivity within society. But we have to equip people to handle these transitions better. We have to give them access points where they can comfortably find new connections, such as with my Cabernet Coaches group I have here in Columbus. I think it's really important that we remove the stigma. It's an embarrassment to people when they find themselves isolated or lonely. It's often through no fault whatsoever. It's an outcome of a series of situations. But people feel embarrassed by it, and they can be very reluctant to admit the need that they have, not realizing that it is a common need to all of us, and that it's half of the people in the U.S., there's a Cigna study, half of us feel alone most or all of the time. It's a very sad statistic, but it's something that's changeable, and it's something that people have the power to change within their own lives with just a little bit of help.
Now, you created a friendship group, Cabernet Coaches, but mm-hmm. early on in this, as it was evolving, did you have trouble distinguishing the mission from professional networking groups or romantic connection meetups that are really more deeply rooted in our consciousness?
Right. I think the need for friendship is not the first thing we notice. I noticed the book I wrote before The Friendship Upgrade is Date Like a Grown-Up, and The Friendship Upgrade really is the prequel to that book, because a lot of people, when they find themselves alone after, say, a divorce or a death, or they're maybe a single man or woman, the first instinct is often to look for a new partner. Unfortunately, it's proven you don't make very good decisions when you have no social network. You are trying to fill a space quickly with whatever the best available at any moment in time, as opposed to really taking the time to build out your life in a thoughtful way. And in networking, again, you're right. People, our lines are blurry, and we want connection. We can fill it in so many different ways, and there are a lot of other ways that seem to jump to the front of the mind when you consider that. But the friend connection is really, I describe it as being a primary, yet it values the person in a very specific way, because there's not the expectations that you might have from a business networking connection or a romantic connection. This is somebody you choose to spend time with without any benefit necessarily beyond just that essential connection you have person to person.
Take me to one of your typical Cabernet Coaches gatherings, Heather. If I was a first timer in one of your events, what would happen? What would I experience?
Well, it's interesting. Last night we had a first timer come, and as is typical, she had been aware of the group for, it might have been 3 years for her. A lot of people think about this for a long time because it's something they kind of believe that they need, they want it, but it's a little uncomfortable. It's hard to take the time for it. And we don't, you know, if we can avoid something that makes us a little afraid, we tend to do that. We're allowed to because we're grown up. Nobody's making us. But she came and found, of course, it was a smaller group last night, which made it even easier to kind of have some of those individual conversations. But I describe our group as being all ages, all stages, which makes it nice because you come in there, the person that invited you may not be a friend click with you. You might appreciate each other, but just not have that life connection, you know, with similar interests and experiences to grow from. But she clicked with several people last night. She came in knowing a couple of us casually from another situation, and, you know, she's talking, and she was excited to come next week and beyond. I find a lot of people will come, and then initially they're surprised at how warm it feels. They're appreciative. They have heard a lot about the group, but a lot of people tell people because they've seen how lives live once they're connected, as the group does for these people. And then people start planning their lives around leaving space for friendships instead. And that's one of the big things I write in this book. I think with the pace of life we've had, we have tended to try to fit friendships into leftover space when we really need to create space to grow them well. And that's what I think Cabernet Coaches gives people an opportunity to do.
It seems like this is something that would be achievable across the country. So if there's someone listening to us in Northwest Ohio and they'd like to create their own version of Cabernet Coaches, how would they go about doing that, Heather?
Well, I've got quite a few tips in the book towards the end because I think community building is critical. And a lot of people, that buzzword is a little bit intimidating, but it really begins with having a desire, knowing the value and having the desire to help yourself and help the other people around you. It takes the consistency because one of the beauties, I think, of our group is that, you know, for instance, this woman last night, she wanted to come for a while. She thought about coming for a while. Who knew when a Wednesday, and I should say our main base of connection is Wednesday nights, but it goes far beyond that. That is a given that every Wednesday night we will find our group somewhere in this Columbus area meeting around 5 o'clock. It's our gathering point. So it's always there. It's evergreen. So I think, again, having a regular, consistent meeting time is important because that gives people the opportunity to come when it fits with their life and their mindset. And then it's important to appreciate the differences amongst us. I will say that, you know, we've gone through some tough political times, but we kind of carried all that stuff out of sight of the group, and we were able to kind of wade through all of the contentious times we've had, and with friendships intact, even though people have different opinions and different approaches to life. So that inclusivity of all kinds of viewpoints and life experiences, et cetera, is really important as well because everybody brings something of value, and I think we recognize that. Those are a couple of the key ones. There's several more in the book, but I think it's just the welcoming and the warmth. You can't fake that. And the cool thing is when you begin to build that, it is contagious. People want to give that to other people when they've experienced it themselves because they see their own lives living better. And my deepest hope is that other communities will do the same thing. We talk about that a lot because, you know, women will have tears. And this isn't anything I mean, yes, I started it, but it's something we've all done together. But they'll have tears telling me how much it's impacted their life. It's changed it's shifted their focus, their perspective, their direction in a very positive way.
Your group is all women. Is that necessary to really share on the friendship level?
You know, I think this is we need to do different kinds of connections. But yes, for this for this specific space, it needs to be women only. We do some other events. We did one last Friday that included spouses and significant others, friends that happen to be guys, that kind of thing. So it was a larger event. It includes the bigger Columbus community. But I think in order to connect without all those other networking, romantic interests infiltrating, not that they're bad things, but that those need to come after we've built those essential connections between ourselves. It needs to be women only. It's a safe place that people know they can just come and relax and laugh, let off some steam, be supported, be understood, be heard.
You're just back from launching this book at a national convention of libraries. How was the Friendship Upgrade received at that event?
It was pretty wonderful. Startling to me how many men were also interested in it. I'm speaking to an Ohio Health Retreat tomorrow. There are principles within it that are helpful for business and community organizations as well. But the first book that was sold went to a Norwegian from Aruba who bought it for his mother-in-law. He's a district library manager. And then I had a sorority advisor want to take the book with her. She purchased it in order to kind of see how to maybe foster a kind of group culture within all the women in her sorority. I had men and women come up to me and say, this is my life. This is what my girlfriend cries to me about. It's unfortunately a very common experience. Everybody relates to it at some level. It was really exciting how many libraries want to make this available to their patrons.
Well, thank you for your good work, Heather. Thank you for joining me today on In Focus, and best of luck with both your mission and your book going forward.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your time today.